each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome, TGAIF.
Hooray.
What does that mean?
TG, we did this last week, didn't it?
TGAIF?
TGAIF.
What,
thank God, again, it's Friday.
Oh, okay.
I say TG. We did that last week.
I say TGIFF. Thank God it's finally Friday.
Okay. I concur. Although we've got another busy weekend coming up.
Yes. So.
It's always like that.
I've got a marathon of weddings.
Wow.
So I'm looking forward to that. It's always nice. You know, do you remember your wedding? Your lovely wife is here, Tony. So.
Oh, yes. I remember all of it.
Do you remember the date of your marriage?
Yes, I do.
You better remember.
What date?
I always get this wrong. I don't know why. It's July 31st.
Oh, I was going to say.
I always say January. I don't know why.
January?
July 31st. I'm not going to say the year. It was very, very hot.
I had the wedding.
Yes, you did.
And we should get your wife to come on and
yes.
She won't
give us some insight
and updates on
why you are the way you are. You know,
she hasn't figured it out.
No, that's why she's a saint.
Yeah, speaking of saints, she's your purgation.
Yeah.
Purging.
Yeah.
So yesterday was the Feast of All Saints.
Mm-hmm.
We talked a little bit about the Triduum, right? The Holy Halloween, Halloween. And I hope people kind of understood what I was trying to say. Yes. Did you check into this?
No, you reminded me now.
You got to do that.
Yeah. I get it on my
This doctor, Dr. Marshall
Taylor
Marshall, and Dr. Timothy Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I'm self-conscious today because I saw again the video. I cannot stand that. That freaks me out.
Father.
So
why?
Somebody showed, I don't know. Well, I know exactly why.
Well, yeah.
We're our worst critics, that's all I have to say.
Gosh, you know, it's not about me. And
why can't you just like, okay, well, with looking at it, just say, keep the fantasy, you know what I mean? Just say it's not what it is.
Or maybe the better thing is to just say, okay, all right, so I'm the Hunchback of Notre Dame.
You're not.
You just got caught in bad lighting, that's why.
No.
I
tell you, because it was Saints Day. All Saints Day is a beautiful feast day, and we had the children. As I said yesterday or Tuesday, no, yesterday. Yeah, today's Friday, so we were on the radio yesterday. So I was. They were dressed up, and so I sent a little message for the Facebook today, and okay. So if I say this. And I mean, this isn't to be critical of anybody. It's just, let's see. I bet you I didn't bring it down here, but that's all right. Probably shouldn't have. Oh, yeah, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, that's not it either. So anyway, you know, I said I mentioned this yesterday, but I wrote it down for the Facebook so that people can read it because we've got people, you know, Facebook audience, we've got radio audience, we've got those who come to the church and some of this is overlaps and all that. And then I've got a school messenger, so I have a means to get out to the parents and the teachers and all that if I want to make a message. So today, this is a feast of or the commemoration of the faithful departed, and I wanted to again express my gratitude that we had this miraculous visitation of the saints from heaven. And I said, but, you know, so sad that the first graders skipped out on that, and that they, it seems to me that they're losing the discipline of the faith. And then I mentioned, I gave the names of the saints who visited us, and I said, I'll ask these saints, I name them by name, Saint Cecilia, Saint Martin de Porres, Saint James, Saint Francis, Saint Michael the Archangel,
Saint Philomena,
Saint Philomena, Saint Oscar Romero, Kateri Tagawitha. I think I got them all, and that that I would ask them to intercede on behalf of our first graders, that they, you know, change their ways, so to speak. And then I went into a little paragraph about the today is a feast, or the not, it's not a feast day; it's a commemoration of the faithful departed and all that. So I sent it out. This is going to go to the Facebook. So I sent it out to various members of the staff here, just so that everybody, we're all on the same page. It was kind of funny, but rather serious. So I got a response back that said, you know, thank you for the message, and we'll send that out in other venues as well. But, you know, better that you, but don't, it's just a little challenge that you don't put something like that, the first graders and their teacher, on the Facebook. You know, if there's a problem, you should deal with the principal, but not make it a public thing on the Facebook. So you get the point.
They didn't get your joke.
So, you know, then double work. Then I have to go back and reach, you know, change it and all that, you know, so.
That takes away the fun.
It takes away the fun.
I thought about it, too. When you were first saying it, I hate to say, I was kind of like lost, but then I remembered what you were doing, because you do it just about every
year. Just like with Superman. Yeah. Every time Superman shows up, Clark Kent disappears.
Right. Yeah. How does that relate? I don't know. What does that mean?
People didn't get
you didn't get my joke,
try.
Father.
No, I did not.
See?
Oh, because it's the same, one of the
same
person.
Thing. Right.
Oh, yeah, okay. But anyway, isn't it funny? So, you know, I said I had to go back and at least put in parentheses, by the way, indeed, the first graders were there. They were the saints, you know.
So you have to be specific, Father.
But I think in the Facebook, they're going to have a nice picture of the saints.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
That would be cool to see.
So that was nice. So.
But I don't have Facebook.
You don't? Angelica, you?
Angelica.
Yeah, you show the Facebook.
If your wife has Facebook, you have Facebook.
See, that's the thing. No, I guess you could look at it that way, but no, I try to stay away from that because I don't want to be anywhere near.
And she doesn't want you near it, eh? And,
yeah, right? She doesn't. Yeah. I go on her phone sometimes and I could access it. She's like, oh, I thought you didn't want to see it.
See?
I just don't want to be anywhere near it.
And 12 years ago, two became one.
Yeah.
Figure that out. Okay. 19 years? Is it 19 years?
19 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
20, wow. Soon it'll be 25.
Well, then that just reconfirms what I saw in the video this morning. I see this old man alongside these saints, you know. I said, who is that old man?
Me.
Oh, jeez. How did I get here?
But, Father, you missed it on the video, the Facebook video.
What?
Did you see that when you were so, like, in ecstasy, you were levitating, you missed that part at the Mass?
I remember that very well during the Mass.
There's a light, you know, shining.
That bright light.
The bright light.
Off the bald head. Oh.
There you go. Just, you see, I hope you're happy now.
No, you're
salt
the one
under the wound.
Right.
No, I know we talked about this the other day, but it can destroy my day. To see these kinds of things, because you have this, and maybe this is part of the purgation. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is
inordinary attachment.
Inordinate attachment to oneself. We have to attach to Christ. But see, the thing is, it's not that I want to be attached to myself. If anything, I want to die to myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus said, and that's what I want to do: die to the bad self.
Right.
Die to. The rough edges and die to old age. Well, see, we're eventually going to die to old age, right?
But it just might be, Father, in your case, and we've all heard this. You've t- told the story so many times, so I can say everyone knows your childhood trauma with the
turban.
Yeah, well,
I don't know, but I guess we all, you know, maybe this goes back to the somehow we'll make this relate to the commemoration of the faithful departed, because the saints, you know, as I mentioned yesterday, let me just recap for those who don't remember. Because if I ask you guys to recap for our listeners yesterday's show, you're not going to know exactly. You're not going to know anything. You won't. I know. I know you.
We weren't really here. We were just.
No, I'm. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm just in pain. So.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Christina. She's got
weekend
issues.
Let that go this time.
And usually, when she's in pain, then everybody else is
too. In pain. Yeah. I'm in pain. Just thinking.
Her, you know? Yeah.
It becomes very ornery.
Because I'm a pain.
But no, we hope you are healed sooner than later.
Well, we do have the healing masses this week.
We do.
There you go.
That's right. That's right. This is a Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
So anyway, the saints, you know, who are they? Just a brief recap from yesterday. They are, and this is really from the book of Revelation, the saints are those who survived the great distresses. I've got to change my voice too. This is the other thing. Didn't I say, Christine, this morning after I heard this, I said, I've never listened to a show. I'm going to start listening so I can do something to change myself.
Wait, hold on. Did you say you're going to start listening to the show?
I'm going to listen so that I can.
Hold on, I got to sit down because that's just too much.
Well, it's going to be very painful for me, but hopefully it'll be a purgation. But now I'm very conscious of how I pronounce. I feel like I get this accent, and
a little bit of the southern accent.
No, I don't think it's southern. I think it's just weird. It's like whatever. Anyway, get over yourself. You know, that's what I remember. Young person wanted to take a picture. Mm-hmm. Wanted a picture with me.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, yesterday after the chaplet, this man came up and he gave me a holy card, which was very nice. He said, now he wants a picture of me with the holy card. I said, well, you can have the holy card back.
Take it back.
I don't want the picture, you know? anyway, but this young girl, teenager. And so she wanted, it was, there was some special occasion or whatever, mm-hmm. so she wanted a picture of me, and it was just, I was in that space, and I don't like to have my picture taken, you know, and doing like I'm doing now, you know, woe is me, oh, woe is me, and she said, just get over it, you know, she was really serious, get over it.
So we
took the picture, and
so that's now the key. If you want a picture with Father, just tell him, get over it.
Yeah, just get over yourself, you know, that's the very thing I keep telling everybody. I got to tell myself, get over yourself, who cares that you got a hunchback and you're bald and you're you talk funny and all that kind of stuff. Just get over it.
You know, Father, it could be worse.
Yeah, Father, it could be worse. You could be me. That's worse.
Well, you could be wearing the turban. And
yeah. Well, no, that would be the nice thing now is to have a turban. So, but anyway, okay, get over ourselves.
It's covering everything.
You know, I'm going to put misery loves company, so let's get over ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so the saints, they survived. This is from the book of Revelation. The saints are those who survived the great distresses. And what we're speaking about today is really distress. Mm. This was a very distressful thing for me to see that video this morning. They survived the trials and the tribulations. They survived the persecutions of this life. And they did so because they were washed in the blood of the Lamb. So in other words, they were warriors whose weapon was the Holy Eucharist. And this deep immersion into the Paschal mystery, which is really about dying and rising, right? You die to yourself, you lose yourself, you decrease, Jesus increase, he be found, then you find yourself, he live in you, and then you have life, right? So that's what being immersed in the Paschal mystery is all about. The saints were mystically bathed in the light of the resurrection. It wasn't light bouncing off their bald heads. It was that they were really imbued with the life of the Spirit. And even as they ate the dry dirt of the desert, and what does that mean when I say that? It's when you Because sometimes people think, well, I have to always feel God, His presence. It's not about feeling. We have these epiphanies, these manifestations, but life is, as the psalmist says, you know, much of our life is drudgery and monotony and all that kind of stuff, you know. And so sometimes you just feel like you're in the desert and you're just you're eating the dry dirt. That's something that is unique to me, I think. Maybe somebody else has said that, but I've said that for years. It feels like eating the dry dirt of the desert. They endure the dark night of the soul. And what is that, a dark night? But it's the seeming absence of God. When you depend solely on God, and He's your lifeline, and so the dark night of the soul is when you feel the absence of God, the absence of God. Some might call it, and it is a kind of a depressed state. See, when people talk about depression, this is part of life. I mean, there is a clinical depression that needs to be treated. There's no doubt. But depression is part of life. We go into these depressions. We can find ourselves in a rather melancholy place. How would you describe melancholy?
This deep sadness.
A sadness. A certain sadness. We talked about that yesterday. Right. I think, you know. So, I mean, it's natural to life in this world. Mm-hmm. It's a sign that we're not home. We're going home. So they nonetheless, because they were so imbued with the Spirit of God, theirs was a mysticism, bathed in the light of the resurrection, even as they ate the dry dirt of the dry dirt of the desert, endured the dark night of the soul. Their lives were spent solely for the love of God, and their prayer was the Gethsemane prayer of Jesus. This came to me as I was praying yesterday about this before the show, because we talked about this yesterday. But what is the Gethsemane prayer of Jesus? But let this cup pass me by, but not my will, rather thy will be done. That the Lord, He does call us to go where perhaps we'd rather not go, but we do so in obedience, knowing that it means for us a great sacrifice. Now, everybody can decide for themselves what that is, you know, in their own personal lives. But wouldn't it be, let's say, aside from the personal, but in a collective sense, the church is, and I mean the people in the pews and even priests, we come to this realization, and again, I'm not going to run from this reality. I'm going to say it over and over and over again because it's real. We have to humbly recognize, admit, and suffer the fact that there is crime and corruption in the church. Even though, you know, Jesus said you're always going to have scandal. It's like we try to, you know, tell me it's not so. Because we, you know, you think about a priest, a child. When you talk, you know, when you teach children, I mean, Angelica and Tony are catechists. When you're teaching your students, you teach about the priesthood, right? And the priest is a representative of Christ, as we all should be. But the priest is taken from among the people to pastor the flock, you know, to be the another Christ. You know, Christ, he's imbued with the life of Christ. And so you teach the students or the children to, you know, that this is who the priest is. And so they look to the priest as though he is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I mean, how many children come to me all the time and they'll call me Jesus, you know, they'll call me Jesus. Where they want to see God, the parents will tell me, let's go to the St. Stanislaus so we can see God. But for them, you know,
the priest
is the God, you know, which isn't, we're not God. Well, you get the point.
Sure. I mean, right. It's a no-brainer. You represent.
But we are another, you know, another Christ. We're, our priesthood is lived in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Still, in the humanity, in the weakness of our own humanity. But when you come to, so you think that, and then as you get older and you realize, my gosh, the priest is really flawed. The priest has a lot of rough edges. The priest is a disaster. The priest is a criminal, you know. Well, then that already the test of faith, right? Mm-hmm. So why did I bring that up? I say this all the time. I'm just rambling here. But the prayer of Gethsemane, the Gethsemane prayer of Jesus is, let this cup pass me by, but not my will, rather your will be done. So whether it be priesthood, whether it be in the marriage, whether it be just, you know, our commitment to Christ, mm-hmm. it takes us sometimes where we'd rather not go, and because it means sacrifice. And if we renege on that, if we decide we're not going to go, then we never reach our potential, which is what? But sanctification by the grace and the power of God's Spirit and our cooperating with the Spirit of God, that we are seeking daily to die to ourselves, to lose ourselves, to decrease, that Jesus increase. So the priesthood, it has to be about Christ. That's why I like the Ad Orientem, that we're celebrating mm-hmm. the Mass, looking to the east, until I saw the video this morning. And I just, oh, this is like I got a hunchback, you know, as it appeared on the video. And you're supposed to say, no, you don't. That's not true, you know. But anyway.
He won't listen to us.
I know. Exactly. But the thing is, you know, that looking away, not looking away from the people, but leading the people in a prayer directed to mm-hmm. the Father, through Christ to the Father, really, it helps to maintain the focus. Mm-hmm. And that focus has to be Christ Jesus, in Christ, with Christ, through Christ to the Father.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't put, what I like about it is it doesn't put the emphasis on the priest. The priest mm-hmm. is leading us. He's
exactly.
part, and it's not about the priest, it's about God. And it's, when you were, something struck me when you were talking, and I remember too, it's taking me a long time to realize that, yeah, it's really not about the priest. It's about God. We come to Mass, we come to in thanksgiving, but we also come to worship God. Now, when we think about it even, and I think about this even when I was younger, I was always taught to respect the priest. You know, the priest is something more to me, just like I see more now, even a father is more. It's a role, and there might be good fathers. I'm talking men in charge of a family,
right.
And there may be bad ones, but you don't disrespect the father. Okay, now when I think of a priest, I think of the same way. Now, although again, with what's happening in the world today and what's going on in the church, there's still a respect for the office, in a sense.
Well, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
Man may be damaged in some form, but there's still respect for the head of the church, the head of the household.
Right.
And that's what I think is getting under attack today. Mm. And we see this all the time.
Well, we do that to ourselves.
Right.
This is the thing, that we do it to ourselves because the reality is a reality.
Right.
But we can't turn a blind eye to the good, mm-hmm. you know, it's perhaps this is a time where we wake up to the reality, the reality, and that is that the church is a holy church. It's a holy institution because it's an institution imbued with the Spirit of God, but made mm-hmm. up of human beings. And again, the Holy Church, we celebrated yesterday basically the church in its perfection, mm-hmm. which is the communion of saints, you know, all centered around the throne of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's the church in the fullness of its light.
Right.
We're in what do we call that? We're the church militant, the church in battle. The suffering church would be what we celebrate today, or what we commemorate today, which is the suffering souls in purgatory, those who haven't yet attained the beatific vision because they're being purged of inordinate attachments to this world, or their sins, or whatever, making reparation for their sins. And this is what we call purgatory, the purgation. Mm-hmm. Well, the purgation begins now. We're in the purgation to the extent that we allow it to happen, right? But, and that means, again, this daily entrustment or the surrender of our lives to God, that, you know, God, I give you, it's basically, it's, you know, I'm the potter, you're the clay. I'm your, no, please. If I do that, then, you know, then I, that's just the opposite. You're the potter, I'm the clay, as the scripture says. So it's to daily live as clay, but pliable in the hand of the potter, so that the potter is molding my life. Or we could be like a rock and he's a sculptor and he's chipping away. That hurts a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
He's got to chip away at this or that or whatever. But we have to be disposed and receptive and open to that. Allow God to do his work in our lives. So, but if we die not having been disposed or receptive, in other words, we're basically, we die in the grace of God, in friendship with God, but it's like a distant friend, right? You know, that I haven't really, you know, I failed in my love for God, my love for God's creation, my love for
His commandments,
creatures, the commandments of God. I was somewhat lazy, or maybe very lazy, in the work of life, because life is a work. Mm-hmm. It is a liturgy in a sense, you know, a work. And so, you know, as we all know, I mean, you use common sense. You know, you look at your place of work, or you look in the family. Everybody's different. You know, there are those who are very generous, very giving, very selfless, right? They go beyond what's expected of them. And then there are those who just get by, right? Mm-hmm. And then there are those who try to create or add to disorder and division and confusion and bring the family down, right? So when we die, you know, depending on how we lived our lives, we're if I die in this moment, right now, in this very moment, as I said yesterday, and I thought about it afterwards, I don't know how people heard that when I says, you know, well, I know I'm not going to heaven. I know I can't possibly be going to heaven, because I, you know, I even started the show with my vanity, you know, my rough edges, you know, I can't bear seeing, you know, hearing my voice or seeing myself, you know, that's a sin, don't you think? I think that's a kind of a sinfulness on my part.
I think, because of course, I want to be way too hard on yourself.
No. I want, you know, I want to be GQ. I want to be a Hollywood type. You know, right?
We want to be young forever.
Yeah, and you're supposed to say, but you are. You know, you really are, but you know, but you're really not. And but that's, you get a point. I mean, sure. I'm trying to make fun. By the way, you know, I was thinking about this morning before I came on the show, because I know I was going to bring this into the show, because I can't get over it. But I thought, you know, as yesterday we were talking about laughing at death, smiling at death. You know, we have to kind of laugh at ourselves as well.
Yeah, all the
right?
time, I do.
You gotta take her. Well, we all laugh at you, Christy.
Oh, of course.
No, I'm just joking. But anyway, you know, where are we going? I mean, we're midway into the show. We haven't even taken a break, and Nick has been begging me for 15 minutes. You know, it's time now. I'm just so totally disobedient. So you see, there's a lot of reasons why I'm not going to go to heaven. Because I have to be purged of these things.
Right.
I have to be purged of all this, in these inordinate attachments. So we can be inordinately attached to youth, inordinately attached to the beauty of our youth, or whatever, whatever it may be, attached to this or that or whatever. Everybody, you got to think about it yourself. Whatever. And so we die. If I die right now, I die this moment, I'm no different on the other side of death than I am right now. If I die in the next 5 minutes, God forbid, I die just as I am. Do you get the point?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever I'm thinking, whatever I'm feeling, whatever I'm doing or not doing, that's the reaction. And so I die now. I die with this disgust, which is sinful, at the fact that I'm so vain that I can't accept my flaws, my defects, as I see them, you know, physically or in the sound of the voice or in the physicality of the body or whatever it might be. That's only one example. What's worse would be, you know, my treatment of other people. Mm-hmm. But I sometimes think I treat myself worse than I treat others, you know, so if that makes any sense. But you get the point that I'm making. And so, you know, so there's this, you got to be purged of these things. I don't know. We got to take a break because I hope I'm making sense.
Yes, you are.
I am?
Yes.
Thank you. So with that, we'll take a break. We will be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
I'm Father Thomas Loya, and I'm inviting you to Christmas on the Prairie. Come and hear the story of the real St. Nicholas and take a ride with him in his own horse-drawn carriage.
Saturday evening, December 1st, from 2 to 6 p.m., an indoor and outdoor family event. Experience the beauty of a Byzantine church, and homemade Christmas bake sale items are available. Christmas on the Prairie at Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church, 14610 Willcook Road, Homer Glen, Illinois. Saturday, December 1st, from 2 to 6 p.m.
The Winds of Change.
The Winds of Change. On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we bemoan, as I do. Woe is me, oh, woe is me. Oh, life is so hard. You know, could be worse.
I can't let this go. So basically, we're saying, or you're saying, you're so vain. You think this song is about you, don't you? Don't you?
Yeah, that song was written for me. Yeah,
exactly. It's going through my mind. I don't know why.
Oh my gosh!
Okay. He's so vain.
You know me too well.
Maybe they even made a song.
Even made a song.
Yeah,
but you get the point though. You know, really, it's the saints. You know, I realized, and this is going back to what Christina said yesterday when she thought, well, the saints are like us. I thought, well, I beg to differ with you, Christina. They're not like us at all.
No, they were.
They were. Yeah.
Right.
And I'm just joking. Right. But I talked to my sister yesterday, and she said, "You're so cruel to Christina." And I says, "What do you mean cruel
which
to
sister?
Christina?" Mary.
Mary? Oh, she said, even your cousin Darlene.
Did she say that too?
She's, yes.
Yeah, Darlene. I don't talk to Darlene anymore.
Why are they always picking on Christina?
Yeah, that's what they say.
And then when Tony comes late all the time, he always gets picked on.
Yeah,
Tony.
I had to ask I think I asked my sister something. Did it sound like I was really
upset,
reprimanding?
Or the day when we were, both of us weren't here.
Exactly. Yeah.
Anyway. Father got really mad.
So you guys will be in purgatory with me as well.
Exactly.
You know?
We'll be there.
A million years, though.
A million years. There is no time in purgatory, you know, so we can't, it's out of time and space, so we can't speak in terms of time. They used to do that, really, mm-hmm. because we can only think in terms of time and space. But anyway, you get the point of the saints in heaven, because they really, you know, as I said, to just say that saints were people who loved is to really fail to distinguish them from the multitude of other good and loving people. I'd say we're good and loving people.
Right.
But the saints, they really, truly died to themselves. They gave witness that it was no longer they who lived, but Christ who lived in them. And by the way, I make that my prayer every day. I mean, when I'm in the chapel in the morning, I'm asking the Lord always, please get me out of the way. Don't let me get in the way. You know?
It's not like that, and I think of the saints too as that example. Just like, again, in today's times, we need to be that example. Mm-hmm. We need to know that it's more than us.
Hey, by the way, I have many, many conversations, and I'm all over the place. People are just drawn to me like a magnet, you know, and what's my problem today?
We don't know that when he's joking.
I know. Exactly. But did we talk about this yesterday? Now I forgot what I was going to say again. About the, what did you just say?
It's not about us. It has to be more. We need the example.
Example.
Right.
Example. Maybe we talked about this off the air or maybe on the radio, but it's one thing to do good things, good works, right? And you can say, well, that's a really a good person and I'm inspired by that. But the inspiration, I find it extremely inspiring to watch somebody in prayer.
Yeah. Mm.
Because a prayer, true prayer, is what makes saints.
Exactly.
And certainly their lives must translate into charity, into good works, into charity. So you really can't separate one from the other. But what distinguishes, and Mother Teresa used to say this, because people would say, they would sometimes say, well, you know, she's a great social worker. Or this is what she would tell her sisters. This is Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And I worked with those sisters, and I gave retreats, and I was part of their the formation of a number of the sisters who were in the process of or preparing for their vows or their final vows. And Mother Teresa would say, you know, you never think of yourself as a social worker. Social workers are beautiful, they're needed, and that's a vocation in and of itself. But she said, that's secondary. What's primary is your vocation, your primary vocation. And this, she could say that of her sisters. We could say it of the priests. We kind of did speak about that. But it really is about all of us, about all of you who are baptized. And I tell you, this is... absolutely. You know, if I speak of crime and corruption in the church, this should be a wake-up call for all of us to say, you know what, how do we counter that? We got to get into the fight, and it's a battle. You know, don't be spectators on the sideline, but get into the fight, and that means divest self of self, realize that you are emissaries of Christ, you are his disciples, and so that's got to be primary. This is speaking of the saints. It's not that they were good doers or just loving people. They were a people who gave themselves completely to Christ. I am nothing. I have nothing. I can do nothing apart from you. I embrace this precious nothingness that you take full possession of my life. That's how a saint lives his or her life. And I say that, that's part of my prayer too. I say this every day. I am nothing, have nothing, can do nothing apart from you. I ask you to take full, but the problem is my ego, I get in the way.
Well, Father, but there's always hope, because you know that saying, I love it. It's very inspirational, encouraging. Every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. We're all called to be saints.
I don't have a past. I don't know what you're trying to tell me.
Well, you're still working on it, Father.
We're hearing
we're
your
in the
past
making,
right
Father.
Now.
A priest in the making. Or a saint in the making.
A saint in the making.
Yeah. Yeah, but this idea of the prayer, the inspiration. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't tell you, you know, yesterday, and this happens every time we get, especially at the evening. You know, I have a, by the way, people, this is something to think about. Seriously, go to daily mass, especially at the nighttime or in the early morning. It is so transformative. Mm-hmm. I have somebody who comes to the evening mass now, and she lives just very, very close to the parish. But and I've known her for 28 years. This is a wonderful person who's had a difficult life, not an easy life at all. And all of a sudden, you know, for the last several months, she's at every evening mass. And when I, after the mass, I go to the chaplet, to the icons, we pray the chaplet. And I always say, you know, what, it's so good to see you here. She said, I can't stay away. She said, yeah. the peace. And she said, just this beautiful way to end the day. Mm-hmm. She said, it's almost like, you know, I didn't realize what I didn't have until I came and discovered. Yeah. There's something about the daily mass. The Sunday masses are beautiful, and that we have an obligation to assist in the Holy Mass on Sunday. That's the obligation that we come together in public. We give public witness in the cult of worship of God. We come to as a church universal collectively to show gratitude for the great Paschal mystery, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus. To enter into that Paschal mystery, the very thing the saints did. That's why I said, you know, they were. Who are these? Where have they come from? All are these all dressed in white. Where have they come from? And the elder says to John, "These are the ones who have survived. They survived the time of distress. They survived the trial and the tribulation. They've survived the persecutions. In other words, they've survived the sufferings of this world. We suffer in mind. We suffer in body. We suffer in soul. We suffer in spirit. I mean, think about that. You know, it's." And I was telling somebody about this the other day too, in the sacristy after the mass. I've said this before on the radio, but if everything were just great with me, I mean perfect, I look in the mirror and I see, wow, I really am, you know, cut out for Hollywood or for, you know, I've got a voice that'll just melt your heart. These are superficial things I'm talking about, right? Angelica, you understand? I hope I'm being really, really facetious, tongue in cheek, superficial.
He's got to explain the joke now because people
get this. This guy is really an egotist.
You're gonna get some calls
and I am,
there.
I'm very egotistical. But no, all that aside, what was the point? What was the point that I was going to make? No, I forgot.
It's not about you.
It's not about me. See, why do I do that? You guys,
it'll come back.
No, now it frustrates because I want it.
You want to make a point.
That happens to me all the time. Yeah. See, it's because I'm no longer young.
I'm kidding. We're on the same boat, Father.
No, the point is, I'll come up with the point. I'll make
somebody
up a point.
Somebody is. You know, if you're doing all well and everything's good with you.
Oh, that's exactly. There you go. Thank somebody. You. Yes, exactly. So let's just, thank you, Tony. You're listening. Christina?
I'm in pain.
So I've said it before, but if everything were perfect with me, everything was right, I didn't have a pain in my body, no pain to the mind, no suffering in the heart, no...
everything was right.
Everything was perfect.
Perfect, yeah.
Perfect. But you come to me and you're suffering, then it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. It's not perfect. And I was sharing that with somebody in the sacristy who was telling me, saying, she said, life is so hard. I said, it really is. It really is. And even if it were okay with us, you know, this perfection, if somebody anywhere is suffering, the body suffers, the body, when I say the body of Christ. St. Paul speaks about that. And so she just made some response. She says, wow, she said, I've never heard that before. She said, that's why you're a priest, because you have that that kind of empathy or that kind of whatever. I says, it's not, that's about who we are. It's about us. It's about all of us. And that's no great virtue that I have. It's not a virtue. I mean, it is virtuous.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we didn't suffer for others, if we weren't compassionate and empathetic people, then really, at the end of all things, you know, there wouldn't be this commemoration of the faithful mm-hmm. departed, because we would be among the unfaithful mm-hmm. departed, those who had no place for God and therefore no place for anyone but themselves. And they basically condemn themselves to an eternity in the absence of God, and that would be in the absence of life. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That would be hell. That would be hell. So it's you know, and thank God this is where, I don't know who said it. Did Jesus say this? I don't know. That charity covers a multitude of sin. That's in the scripture.
I think so.
Charity, love, covers a multitude of sin. That our sinfulness, that we are sinners, that we are flawed, that we have defect, that we are, and it may, you know, sins of omission, sins of commission, you know, that we failed to do what good we could do. All this, aware of that, and see, to come into the presence of Christ, to come into the presence of the saints, should, it's kind of like what I said in the beginning, you know, I can perceive myself one way, but when I see myself reflected back to myself from the video, the voice, the body, everything, it's a humble eye-opener. And maybe that's what I'm saying too, is it, in the light, we're aware of our defects.
Mm.
That's why Scripture so appropriately says, the light came. Jesus came, the light. People chose rather the darkness. They chose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. I think I've said this before. I can be in a room lit by candles and look at myself in the mirror and, yeah, wow, I look great. I look great. Then I go outside and I look at under the light of the sun, I look at myself, see myself reflected in a mirror, in a window, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, wow, this is pretty bad. You get the point?
Mm-hmm.
I hope you do. All right, we'll take a break. At last, finally. Nick is smiling. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listen and Support of Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
As the news brings us to the realities of life, there is no doubt that the devil stalks the church and the culture. It is with this realization that we urge you to ask your parish to recite the prayer to Saint Michael the Archangel after Mass, and to personally recite the prayer for Saint Michael's intercession. Let us pray. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly hosts, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
This is Bold Talk with Father Thomas Loyola.
We live in strange times, full of contradictions, many of which we create and then force upon ourselves. An example.
To hear the rest of this and other Bold Talks with Father Thomas Loyola, visit taberlife.org and go to the main menu and click subscribe. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stas has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stas is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stas. Monday evening, November 26th at 7 at St. Bernard Catholic Church in Homer Glen, Illinois, Father Thomas J. Loya will be a presenter in a panel about the turmoil in the church, the topic, scandals, honesty, and hope. Monday, November 26th at 7 p.m. at St. Bernard Catholic Church, 13030 West 143rd Street, Homer Glen, Illinois. Sponsored by the multi-parish Respect Life Ministries of Annunciation Byzantine Catholic Church, St. Bernard's, St. Francis of Assisi, Our Lady of the Woods, St. Michael, and Our Lady of Good Counsel.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I should say...
Tongue twister.
Tongue twister. I should say that something about why we pray for the dead. Why do we pray for the dead?
We intercede for them, and they intercede for us, because they cannot intercede for themselves. So we're all connected. We have to pray for each other, like we do when we're here on this earth.
They cannot intercede for themselves.
Not up there.
Is that right?
Up there.
No, right?
Here, well, it's different. The purgatory, they can't.
Oh, so you're teaching me something. I got to check into that.
But we could intercede for them, and they for us.
So I'm a priest, and I didn't even know that.
You did. You just got your mind on other things right now.
It was that video.
The dead cannot pray for themselves?
No.
No.
The souls in purgatory?
No.
No.
Because their time is up as far as...
Okay, so I got to go back.
That's why we got to take care of business down here.
Got to take care of business.
As much as we can.
We need to help them.
Well, I know that the purgatory is a purgation, sure. So you're being purged. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find the Book of Maccabees because it's, I was just reading it a little bit earlier today, and it's very beautiful. Here we go. Okay. Mm-hmm. Bear with me. And we're just about out of time, so I hope I can get to this. But this is this is one of the later books of the Old Testament. But it's a very beautiful description. The first account we have of prayer for the dead, which, by the way, it just intuitively makes so much sense, doesn't it? Really, when you think about it. But this was the the struggle of the Jewish people for freedom against the Seleucid Empire. This is around 100, 200 years before the birth of Christ. And they were written from an Orthodox Jewish point of view. But the second book of Maccabees tells how Judas Maccabee, the Jewish leader, led his troops into battle in 163 B.C., and then when the battle ended, he directed that the bodies of those Jews who had died be buried. And here's what, let me see if I can find it here. So Judas and his men went to gather up the bodies of the slain and bury them with their kinsmen in their ancestral tombs. But under the tunic of each of the dead, they found amulets sacred to the idols of Jamnia, which the law forbids the Jews to wear. So it was clear to all that this was why these men had been slain. They all therefore praised the ways of the Lord, the just judge who brings to light the things that are hidden. Turning to supplication, they prayed that the sinful deed might be fully blotted out. The noble Judas warned the soldiers to keep themselves free from sin, for they had seen with their own eyes what had happened because of the sin of those who had fallen. He then took up a collection among all his soldiers, amounting to 2,000 silver drachmas, which he sent to Jerusalem to provide for an expiatory sacrifice. In doing this, he acted in a very excellent and noble way, inasmuch as he had the resurrection of the dead in view. For if he were not expecting the fallen to rise again, it would have been useless and foolish to pray for them in death. But if he did this with a view to the splendid reward that awaits those who had gone to rest in godliness, it was a holy and pious thought. Thus he made atonement for the dead, that they might be freed from this sin. That's basically a summation as to why we pray for the dead. And what do we say? What is the prayer that is on the lips, should be, was on the lips of all Catholics at the time of death? What do we hear prayed over and over in the funeral liturgies and in the vigil service? Mm-hmm. But eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him. May he rest in peace. May his soul and the souls of all the faithful departed rest in peace. This is just, everybody knows it, or they should. If we don't know it, then, you know, I wonder. But every Mass that's prayed is prayed for the dead. Mm-hmm. We pray for the dead. We pray for those who have died in faith, those in God's grace. Even if you don't have something very explicit in Scripture, it intuitively makes sense, because this is one of these things written into our soul. Mm-hmm. We maintain this connection, this bond, because death, see, the world will take everything away from us, but it cannot take the love that binds us together, because that love is of God. That love is of God. And so what the world takes away, God gives back. So there's a great consolation knowing that we've got the saints interceding on our behalf, helping us on the way. We have consolation that we can offer these prayers in the hope of the beatific vision, a share in the resurrection of those who have died. And of course, we help each other. The rosary, the chain that binds us to God, that brings us into the mysteries, the principal mysteries of the Incarnation, the Paschal mystery, so that we have the means, not to collapse as we go on our way. We depend on the prayers of the angels and saints. We pray for those who have died, and we pray and assist each other on the way. All right, everybody, have a nice weekend. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deep for truth or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Meaningless thought, the shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred, the time.